Good evening. Our text tonight will be found in Ezekiel chapter 13, starting verse 10. We'll read a few verses there. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 13, starting at verse 10. It says, Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing, wherewith ye have daubed it? Father, I just pray that you would give us wisdom tonight. You said that any of us that lack wisdom, that you would give it freely, and I pray that you would do that. Give us understanding, Lord, and just pray that you would be with our church in the times to come. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So this in this passage here, it's of course in this time Israel's false prophets were at it again. It seems like the false prophets of Israel were always a thorn in the side of God's people. And if anybody's done any kind of masonry, bricklaying, or stonework, you know that mortar is a strong substance. It's you can sling it around all you want when it's wet, but once it hardens up, you know, you got to have a sledgehammer to bust that stuff. So suppose that you know, you hired me to build a wall for you, and I get my bucket of mortar out there, and I start laying the wall and realize after a while, you know, I'm running out of mortar. I'm not going to have enough to finish the job. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll just dump water in it and fill the bucket back up, right? So I do that, and, of course, it won't stay on the trowel. And so, well, what am I going to do now? Well, I'll get some dirt and throw it in there, and maybe that'll thicken it up a little bit. So I continue to build your house. And at the end, you know, maybe you won't notice it at first, but that I wouldn't want to live in a house built like that, would you? And that's kind of what Israel's false prophets did. They were giving untempered mortar to the people. How would you like to be able to mix your own opinions in with it and say, thus saith the Lord? That's basically what they were doing, because God's word wasn't enough for them. And, you know, the last, I don't know, while, I feel like there is a dark cloud or something coming over this country. It's something incredibly evil. Something spiritual is going on here that it's never in my lifetime been like this before. And we in this country today, you know, we have our humanist prophets. Humanism seems to be the prevailing religion of the day in our country. Our politicians are out there building walls, which are being daubed by the untempered mortar of all the talking heads in the media. And even, unfortunately, a lot of spiritual leaders are giving the people untempered mortar today. So Israel fell prey to these false prophets, and God likens it to spiritual harlotry, okay? Harlots are, you know, now, first, you know, first of all, Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse and forgive even the filthiest of sinners. We know that, right? So Jesus Christ can forgive anybody. But the harlots are considered what most people consider just, you know, bottom of the barrel kind of dirty earth dog people, right? But this is how God sees his people whenever they commit spiritual adultery. I'm going to take you to Ezekiel chapter 16. And we're going to read a passage out of there, a rather lengthy passage. Now, some of the imagery in this passage is quite strong. And normally I wouldn't use these sorts of metaphors with you, but this is what the Word of God says. Okay, this is how he feels about spiritual fornication and harlotry. We'll pick it up in verse 7. And when I read through this passage recently, I thought, I didn't know whether God wrote this originally to Israel or to America. It just seems so applicable to our situation here today. In verse 7, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. We have been incredibly blessed in this country, just as Israel was. In fact, the riches that this country has, I don't think has ever been surpassed by any nation in the world ever. Okay, we've been incredibly, incredibly blessed. But go on to verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and played the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I have given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. And tookest thy broidered garments and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine increase before them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and devoured them, to cause them to pass through the fire for them? Abortion, anyone? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, wherein thou wast naked and bare, and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou also hast committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Can you imagine the Philistines being ashamed of the lewdness of Israel? The Philistines weren't exactly a moral compass. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty bad when the Philistines are ashamed of Israel. You know who's ashamed of us today? The Muslims. They can't believe the filthiness of this nation today. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. So Israel committed unspeakable sins when they listened to the false prophets, and in their untempered mortar, they sacrificed their children in the fires to Molech. They worshiped the Queen of Heaven. Even Solomon built high places, you know, unto these false gods. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says all these things, talking about the Old Testament, it says all these things happened to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. And if God said these things through Ezekiel to the Jews, his chosen people, what would he say to a Gentile nation like us? There's so much, Satan has put so much falsehoods out there today for us. You can't believe anything you see on TV anymore. It's become all propaganda. Everything. Everything you turn on the television is propaganda somehow. The feminism, I mean, this one gets me in trouble more than anything else, but you know what I've noticed? I've noticed you can't even flip through the channels without seeing some, you know, some young, blonde-headed, blue-eyed woman, you know, pulling a bunch of karate moves and kicking some, you know, big burly biker guy, just beating the snot out of him. Can I suggest to you that that is pure fantasy? Okay, these things that you see on TV, it's all baloney. You want to see what really happens? Go look up that YouTube video of a female cop that tried that. There was she pulled, it's all on the dash cam. She's lucky to be alive. The guy got out of the car and just beat her almost to death. They said it's a miracle she even survived. Okay, that's what really happens out there. All right. And so, you see, it's the communists out there, the sodomite propaganda is unbelievable. Okay, I'll talk to you about that in a minute. Worldviews are always being presented. Okay, no matter what it is you turn on the TV, books you read, there's always a worldview that's being presented to you. Okay, and you know, the places that you perceive a threat coming from is going to be determined by your worldview. You know, for example, do you perceive a bigger threat coming from COVID-19 or from government tyranny? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you perceive a bigger threat as coming from, you know, criminals burning down cities and looting and stuff like that, or, you know, patriots that love their country? What's a bigger threat to you? Okay. How about homeschools? Is that a threat, or would you see as a bigger threat the public universities? The that speaking of the gay men's choir in San Francisco, anybody hear about that deal lately? When I was, you know, younger, probably in high school, if you would have even mentioned that there was a such thing as a gay men's choir, we would have laughed you to scorn. I mean, it's just, but nowadays I heard about that and didn't even hardly think twice about it. They came out with a song recently. I was going to read the lyrics for you, but I thought, why bother? I'm not going to promote their propaganda to you. But they were boasting about how they have your children and they're going to brainwash them whether you like it or not. Okay, those are the things that they're bragging about today. We have, you know, fake news on TV talking about how great finance. We're $28 trillion in debt in this country. Okay, and we have, that's the wall being built for us by our liberal politicians, and our liberal economists are daubing it with untempered mortar. Everything's going to be fine. You got your check, didn't you? Your little STEMI check, right? And talking about brainwashing, especially younger people, but I see older people falling prey to this too. You know what? One of the biggest things they're getting people with today with all this COVID stuff. There's two words: science says. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, science says this and science says that, right? First of all, okay, how about what the Word of God says for a change? How about we start there, right? But for, you know what? Would they say that science says? I want you to understand something. Science is a method, okay? Science is a tool. Science doesn't say anything any more than a tool in my toolbox says something, right? My screwdriver says about as much as science does. Now, scientists say things. Okay, and the opinions of scientists are as varied as a general population. Okay, don't let them try to brainwash you into thinking that all scientists say this or that. It's not true. Okay, it's untempered mortar. All this is definitely one for younger kids. They're brainwashing them today into thinking that environmentalism. Okay, did you realize that back in the 60s they were telling us that in 10 years the world's oil reserves were going to be depleted, we're all going to die, right? In the 70s it became, well, there's going to be an ice age in 10 years, we're all going to die in 10 years because there's another ice age coming. In the 80s, I remember this one, it was acid rain is going to kill us all in 10 years, right? In the 90s, the hole in the ozone layer was going to kill everybody in 10 years, right? In the 2000s, it was global warming is going to kill everybody in 10 years. In the 2010s, it was climate change is going to kill everybody in 10 years. Who knows what they're going to have this decade? But it's all a lie, okay? It's untempered mortar. And the communists out there, communism today is seen by a lot of people as, oh, it's just a boogeyman, you know, all the McCarthyism and stuff like that. We don't need to worry about communism anymore. But do you think that when the Berlin Wall fell down 1989, do you think that all the communists just all of a sudden saw the light that's in and, you know, all became a bunch of Bible-believing capitalists? No, they realized they were never going to defeat America militarily, so they decided to do it from within. Okay. Now, I don't have control over what they do. Neither does anybody in this room. We don't have control what they're teaching, what they're doing. But I do have control over what happens to my family. Okay, we do have control over what happens in this church. Okay, and I believe all of this has come on us because of America's spiritual harlotry. Okay, if these types of things had been taught from the pulpit, you know, decades and decades ago, we wouldn't be in this situation today. Okay. There is that's a lot of the temporal untempered mortar that's going on here today. But there's also the spiritual untempered mortar. People, we have itching ears, don't we? We have itching ears. We hear what we want to hear sometimes. You know what? I don't have to tell this. A lot of this stuff, you know, this crowd in here, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But, you know, the devil wants to water down our messages with new Bible versions and, you know, water down our preaching with the limp-wristed kind of, you know, seeker-sensitive kind of stuff. You know, stuff that the gay men's choir would have no problem with, right? If it waters down our music. And then when you look at the next generation, see, that it's kind of a good barometer as to how we have daubed our wall. The kind of teaching that we have given to our children is seen in the next generation. So when the Lord comes back and we're standing before him, I want to have something better to show him than a life that's built on a bunch of pagan psychology and education. I really do. And these walls are coming down. Everything this country's been built on for a long time, it's all coming down. It's not going to last. Okay, everything's being destroyed before our very eyes. But the Bible says riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. It's Proverbs 11:4. So what will be the end of all this madness that we're seeing on the news and in our country today? Well, I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know how it ended for Israel. We'll continue in Ezekiel chapter 16. Pick it up in verse 35. It says, "Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, and with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand. And they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. And they shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou shalt also give no hire any more. So I don't know how it's going to end for us, but you know, God takes it seriously, and things don't look good right now. Okay. But Brother Jay, I have an AR-15, and I have 1,000 rounds of ammo. So you know, we're going to be okay, right? Now look, if those of you that know me know that I am the most pro-gun person I know. I don't think there should be one single gun law in the book. I think they're all unconstitutional. Okay, but. When the Lord is pouring out judgment upon a nation, it's not going to help you. I'm sorry. Okay, it's not going to work. Okay. I'm fearful to what might happen when we fall. And I don't think it's our job to team up with a bunch of patriotic pagans in order to save the republic. Okay, we are not here to prop up the kingdom of men. We are here to proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's the job that we have to do. And if we had been doing it all these years, we probably wouldn't be where we're at right now. There's too many people that don't believe, and it's our fault. It really is. There's this forced vaccination stuff. You know, we've been talking about that going on. You know, this book is amazing. Okay, it says in the last days, in the book of Revelation, it talks about there's going to be a mark placed upon all people without which you cannot buy or sell. They're giving us a vaccine. They're saying without this vaccine, you cannot buy or sell. Now, I don't think the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Okay, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what do we need? A big neon sign? I mean, can we not see this book being played out before our very eyes? Where this is all headed? It's where it's headed. Okay, I don't know if it's a trial run, whatever you want to call it, but you know, in the past, these pagan nations like Rome and so forth, they had their Caesars, and if you were caught being a Christian, you know, worshiping the one true God, the governor, whoever, would pull you in and have a little altar there with fire burning on it. And now I'm going to give you a chance to prove me wrong. Just get a little pinch of Caesar, a little pinch of incense, and go offer it before to Caesar, and you'll be free to go. And of course, if you did it, you were free to go. You denied the Lord Jesus Christ and go and offer the incense to Caesar, you're fine. But if you didn't, if you don't, we'll flay you alive, we'll burn you at the stake, you know, whatever, any kind of number of terrible tortures that they had for you. Okay, that's what it's turning into in this country. Just a little pinch, to the government, just a little pinch to Dr. Fauci or something. You know, that's the way it's going to be. You know, the Cubans and the Venezuelans said this will never happen in our country. We'll never fall to the communists or anything like that. And of course, we see how that turned out for them. So it's very negative message. But, you know, I don't know about you all. I have a much better vision for our church, though. I think that we can come. I look out here. I see there's all kinds of different skills, all kinds of different abilities that we have that the Lord has given us. That we ought to start coming together and talking to each other and figuring out how we can benefit each other, how we can sustain each other if times get really hard. You know, it's biblical, and we can shine as lights in the world. You know, the Bible says that people will know that we're Christians by our love for one another. We ought to start coming together and thinking about how we can better do that. And thankfully, the Lord has allowed us, at least up to this point, you know, different islands of freedom, like homeschooling and being able to opt out of you know, certain things and stuff that we ought to use until those things run out. I'll read to you just a short verse from Jeremiah chapter 3 real quickly. It says in verse 1, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? But shall not that land be greatly polluted? It's like us. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Yeah, the Lord is always willing to take back somebody that would turn to him in repentance. It's never too late to repent and go back to the Lord. He says in Malachi 3:7, he says, return unto me and I will return unto you. Okay, we can do it. We can do it. But I hope that you know, we don't know how the future is going to play out. I hope that it doesn't get too awful bad. But, you know, I do, certainly don't have faith in that. And the thing, the bottom line is, folks, that Jesus Christ is the only true foundation. His church is the only true building. And his word is the only true mortar that can be trusted. And it won't be found wanting on the day of wrath. Amen. Thanks, Pastor.